Welcome back to the podcast, everyone. My name is John Lee, and I am here as always with Dan Sly.
Hello.
I thought you weren't going to say hello then.
Just building up suspense. Sorry, mate. No, I wasn't sure if that's something you wanted to add. Hi, everyone. I'm Dan. Yeah.
That's Dan. So today, essentially, we're going to talk about us. Who are we? Kind of in the last episode, we gave some what I'm going to call fabulous advice for BJJ, Dan. But why the hell should the listeners care what we think about BJJ, sports science, and sports psychology?
Who is the man behind the advice, John?
Yes, who is the men behind the advice?
Yeah,
So
exactly.
yeah, that's basically what we're going to do today. We're going to do a bit of a kind of a who are we episode, just so that you guys can then decide whether you trust what we're saying or not, essentially.
Essentially.
Yeah, so I'm gonna interview Dan. I'm gonna fire questions at him. I haven't told him what they are, so he hasn't had time to prepare. And then I'll answer them after you've answered them, Dan, if we do
I
that.
like it. I
Yeah,
like it a lot, John. I
sure,
might throw
time
in a few
warp.
curveballs myself,
Yeah, go on, mate. If you've got any good questions that you think of, chuck them out there. So then, Dan, we'll start academically, shall we? Oh no, wait, sorry. Start first by name. BJJ belt and specialist subject, Dan.
Oh my God. Okay. Name is Danny Andre Sly. Second in line to the Sly throne. I am a BJJ.
Lee.
It's a fantastic start. Why wouldn't you trust someone who can't even pronounce BJJ? I'm a BJJ blue belt, John. And
How many stripes you got on there, Dan?
just one currently, John. Well, I'm hoping that will change one day.
And then specialist subject finally, Dan.
Oh, specialist subject, John, would probably be the hit UK sitcom The Office. I'm pretty sure I can quote all of it verbatim. I'm
Okay.
not sure if you wanted a specialist subject relating to something martial arts related, but I'm afraid my
I
specialist
was more
subject is.
thinking sports psychology, but I didn't know you were going to go that down that
Amazing. Yeah, my specialist subject is The Office, John. But
route.
in
Okay.
sports psychology, well, I guess I began my PhD looking at kind of positive mental health in athletes. So I won't go down too much of a spiel because I'm sure we'll do full episodes on it, but essentially hear the term mental health a lot in sport
Well,
and kind of
we
intrinsic.
might delve into that in a second, Dan, as well. I want to
And
get your
intrinsically,
talking
I
head
guess
rolling.
we're caught up very much in looking at that from a mental ill health perspective. Not that I'm saying it's not important to, of course, it's real important. We know the prevalence of things like mental ill health, those statistics. I think it's one in six of us will experience a mental health problem, etc. But I kind of, want to look more at the other side of a coin, particularly this idea of what we kind of refer to as flourishing in certain circles, John. Very fancy, very eloquent term.
To flourish.
Flourish. How does one flourish, Dan? I hear thee cry. But yeah, that's pretty much what I look at. Positive athlete mental health, what contributes to it? And obviously there's a lot of research which suggests when you've got better mental health and you've got certain kind of characteristics in relation to that, that's when you tend to perform better as well. Real strong link between all of that, our kind of, our mental, emotional, physical well-being and health as well. So yeah, I guess if I were to have a specialist subject on, that's the kind of area.
Yeah, that or
But
the office, of course.
if one could call me an expert,
Yeah, well,
perhaps
one
not.
just
But
might.
could one call me an expert in all things related to the UK office? Yes, indeed they could.
It. So my name's John Lee. I'm a BJJ brown belt. And my specialist subject is exercise physiology and biomechanics. I don't know if I've got a popular kind of popular cultural specialist
Yeah,
subject, although we
when you
do
said it,
like
mate, I
quoting
was
films at
thinking,
each other.
yeah, when you said that, I was thinking more like if you'd sit in the black mastermind chair, colour's not important, but the mastermind
Delulu.
chair, and then yeah, just sit down and then
I wouldn't want to do exercise physiology
that's
in
what I
the
meant when you
mastermind
said
chair.
that. I
That
was like,
is
I don't think there's
so
any.
broad, I'd get
Yeah, that's what I
shunked.
thought. I thought there's no branch of sports psychology or psychology in general where I'd say sit down and ask me in-depth questions, but I was thinking the UK office, I was thinking that you're
You
gonna,
do well, yeah.
yeah,
All right,
absolutely.
Dan. So, delving back into the academic side of your specialist
Yes,
subject
please, John. I
a bit more, then,
digress.
mate.
Yeah.
Kind of academically, mate. How did you get there then? So, maybe starting with your degree or whatever. What qualifications you got, Dan? Why should the people listen to you?
Yeah, sure. Well, Well, the journey to psychology, John, has been one with many twists and turns and peaks and troughs,
Isn't it
trials and
always?
tribulations, isn't it always, fam? Yeah, I originally wanted to be a medical doctor, actually, but I
Awesome.
decided to take biology and chemistry first year of A level. But I realised you actually have to attend a class. That's a big focus, and yeah, I almost got kicked out of college because my attendance was woeful. I'm glad to say I got myself back on track, and yeah, decided to study psychology. Found it a fascinating subject, so. Did our undergrad in Bournemouth. Towards the latter part of that, I realised I'd specialise in something if I wanted to become a psychologist eventually. So I chose sport. Always loved my sport, despite a lack of natural talent. Certainly a lot of enthusiasm for it. So I thought I'd go down that route. That led me to do my master's at Brunel University. From there, I was fortunate enough to interview and get a position as a assistant sports psychology coach at Southampton Football Club. So I spent 3 to 4 years working my way through there, working as a psychologist as part of the academy set up there. Then onto there, perhaps the most enriching experience of my life, meeting you, John, at Canterbury Christchurch University, where we both operated quite successfully, and
Yes, absolutely.
in the role of a university instructor, so essentially part-time PhD with part-time lecturing as well. John, of course, Dr. John has completed his PhD journey. Again, certain twists and turns in one's life, which has made that
Funny,
journey
yeah.
slightly longer for me. So still plugging through. If you're listening, Mark,
Yeah.
please return my emails. And from there,
He's not listening.
yeah, and from there, simultaneously, I got my chartership with the BPS, British Psychological Society, HCPC Accreditation Healthcare Professions Council, to become a chartered psychologist specialising in sport and exercise.
Yeah, so you can't call yourself a sports psychologist, can you? Unless you are chartered, it's a protected term. Am I right in saying
Yeah,
that? Yeah,
it is a legally
yeah,
protected term. Yeah, so just
yeah.
something to be aware of. I mean, please don't. Doesn't mean by any means you have to listen to my advice, but should you be seeking a sports psychologist, always check their credentials.
Yeah,
You'll hear
well.
people using, other terms, maybe performance psychology
Wellness coach.
practitioner, wellness coach, mind wizard. Yeah, yeah,
I'm a
that kind of thing.
certified mind wizard.
Mind wizard.
Yes, I
Yeah,
certified myself.
level two with skills in a yeah, skills in ancient arcane magic, that kind of thing. Yeah, so.
Yeah.
So things to
Shake a
look out
stick
for.
at it. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So that, yeah, that I think that pretty much brings us to today, John.
Like it, Dan.
Yeah.
Like it. So some credentials is what we're saying, Dan.
Well,
You're doing all right.
not to toot one's horn, John, but beep beep. How ridiculous. I
Love
don't know what my voice goes as well, really posh when I'm talking about for credentials, and it's
it.
completely like beep beep.
Like it, mate. Yeah,
Excellent.
so me then, I did a
Wait,
degree in.
John, sorry. John, tell me about your
Oh,
credentials.
thank you, Dan. Yeah, I did a degree in sport and exercise science. Like as Dan said, I've always loved sport. Had a fascination with sport and had a fascination with science as well. So I likewise picked a lot of science A levels. I had a really great physics teacher at A level who made me think that it would be a brilliant idea to go and do physics at university. And I love physics and I love the theoretical side of it, but my maths is nowhere near good enough to do the mathematical side, all the maths to prove all of these fun theories. So that was not a good idea. So years later, I was like, sport, I like science, I like sports science. I then did a master's by research, following my degree in exercise physiology and biomechanics. And then I've just finished, well, I actually finished it, what, 6 months ago. But I've just graduated from a PhD in exercise physiology, where I was looking at lowering blood pressure and managing blood pressure with exercise, essentially a specific sort of exercise. I think we'll probably both do episodes at some point on our PhDs, Dan. I'm sure there are people doing jiu-jitsu that are going to have worries about blood pressure. So maybe me explaining my protocol could be interesting to people to help them manage their health. And I know your flourishing side is very parallel to what we're trying to do on this podcast, isn't it? Trying to get people mentally and physically to kind of flourish within jiu-jitsu. So we're bound to delve into those deeper, aren't we?
Absolutely, John. The Pandora's box will come off, so to speak, and yeah. Pull the lid of Pandora's box and yeah, open up a world of knowledge.
Is the box on you?
I don't know anymore. I feel like I'm out of my box currently. So yeah.
And then the only other qualification that I think we both got this, Dan. Did you do your postgraduate certificate in academic practice?
I did, John.
Yeah,
yes,
while we're at university.
Yes,
so while we were both lecturing.
FHEA qualified as well, guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Know. We're both good fellows, aren't we, Dan?
Yeah,
good
fellows of the Higher HEA. Education Institute. Yeah. So please, if you ever want us to come into your uni, just not even just to teach, just if you want to hang out, just
let us
down. I can make time. Please, guys.
Send me location. so that's basically a postgraduate teaching qualification. So me and Dan were both qualified to teach at university level, essentially. What's your favorite jiu-jitsu position?
Favorite jiu-jitsu
quick
position.
Fire.
Oh, favorite jiu-jitsu position. Top side control.
Very interesting. Mm. Mine would be top half.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, very nice. Very nice.
Okay. I like that, Dan.
I've become more of a fan of bottom half, actually. But started hearing it was a very underappreciated kind of position.
Yeah.
And I'm learning that more and more, man. What about you? Oh, you just
yeah,
said
so
that.
I play bottom half a lot because I tend to get smashed and find myself under there. And then we'll normally try and sweep to top half. Or if people are playing open guard with me, I will jump straight into their top half guard.
Oh.
And then I like to progress from there, basically. That's kind of my...
Someone likes to live dangerously.
So let's go down that academic side. You did mention, Dan, you had done some work as a sports psychologist, but I think there's some other stuff you missed out, because I know you've done some other jobs. So from your start as a sports psychologist up to the current day, what have you done? Where have you been?
Where have I been? Well, after the... After 4 years at Canterbury Christchurch, 4 magical years, I took some time, went out into the corporate world, became a slave to the 9-to-5 grind, John, in the big smoke in London, you know, that big, strong, independent lifestyle while still living with my parents. And then I decided to, had an interest, like I say, in all forms of psychology, particularly mental health. So decided to spend some time as well working in the NHS. I worked for a while as a researcher. That was quite a departure. I spent a year and a half conducting a study on the psychological impact of warfarin versus rivaroxaban. So anyone who might be happening to suffer from atrial fibrillation, who wants to know which medication they should be on, what works for them, hit me up. Very so quite how I ended up researching that. That's strange, but yeah,
that's very interesting. Actually.
Simultaneously I worked in a voluntary capacity again, just some more knowledge and experience, because it was something I was interested in. I worked at Oxford, the John Radcliffe Hospital in Oxford, as an assistant clinical psychologist, best part of a year, then COVID hit. And at the time I was considering engaging in kind of a clinical psychology pathway. Anyone who might be listening to this who's either done clinical psychology or considered it will know it's very, very competitive though. And time spent kind of sharpening up your qualifications to get up a course and stuff, I had to make a judgment call where I could either keep on doing voluntary work and take thing or have enough money to survive and live. And I went for the latter option at that point. Someone may say that's the coward's way out, John, but I take it.
You're still doing this for free though, Dan, aren't you, as well?
Yeah,
so, you
well,
know,
well,
still
for
doing
now,
your
John,
bit.
But yeah. We are looking for sponsors. and then... from there, as I said, back into the corporate world for a while, and then currently in the day job, I work with organisations to help improve their mental health and well-being. So, going to talk about all manner of things, and a lot of it obviously relates to some of the stuff we're talking about. Obviously, an analogy I often use, because I guess I'm from a sport background, is kind of we're all performers in a way, right? Regardless what we do in our life. So who knows, hopefully some of the things we talk about in the podcast, mate, might be useful to people's kind of performance outside of BJJ as well. They're all, like I say, you think of all the characteristics to be successful in life, you know, good resilience, confidence, motivation, any manner of things. It's all kind of transferable
Yeah.
to
That's why a
other
lot of people
aspects of your
say that
life.
jiu-jitsu is so good for your life, isn't it? On top of getting you fitter, is that it does breed resilience. It does breed, it requires motivation and kind of teaches people how to have some of those
Problem
characteristics that
solving,
will help
calmness
you
under
in
pressure.
life. Yeah. Yeah. Not minding if someone's crushing your face against
No,
a hard object. Yeah, that
absolutely.
can be useful.
That's it. But yeah,
Yeah.
absolutely. In work, maybe, yeah.
Depending on what your job is.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I would definitely contact HR if that was the case, though, to be
Yeah.
honest. It's not a way to get results.
No, that's not it. Yeah, so me, I started doing as I while I was doing my master's, they did a bit of a program where you could do a bit of lecturing, you could go and help in some of the practicals and stuff. And I knew that I really enjoyed that. At the same time, I was doing some kayak coaching, and I knew that I like teaching kind of degree-aged people, not so much younger people. Didn't want to be a school teacher or anything like that, but I liked degree level, so I knew that I needed a PhD if I was gonna lecture at university. Then the job came up at Canterbury Christchurch, where we both worked, where, yeah, as you say, it was half time getting your PhD and half time lecturing, so you'd then have a load of experience
And
in
half time
both.
partying,
And and often the scales kind of switched, not as much PhD, a bit too much jiu-jitsu and partying and watching Netflix.
That makes three halves, John. So no wonder neither of us did particularly well at maths. So
I would say my maths is a bit better than that. It just wasn't quite up there for the physics. So then I've been lecturing now for, when did we start? About
2014.
8 years. Yeah, about 8 years. So I finished my fixed term contract at Canterbury and then carried on completing my PhD. And at the same time, I was up part-time lecturing at a couple of other universities, more locally to me now, because we've moved away from Canterbury. And now I've finished my PhD, so I'm in a prime position now to get a full-time lecturing job, and I've become a full-time firefighter instead. So I'm not using my PhD at all. So, but it's
No, I
there,
mean,
it's on the wall, it will be.
absolutely. Well, yeah, should I ever finally get mine? I mean, it will be likewise. I think I'll finally get it then, probably just go and live out in the wilderness.
But I'll probably like I can do lecturing part-time on the side, keep my hand in there. So yeah, I will do a bit of that, but for the moment, I'm done with being sat in front of a computer for a little while. So yeah, I'm a full-time firefighter now, and I'm also I'm an on-call firefighter where I live as well. So that's taken up a fair amount of my time. So I'm not doing so much academic stuff anymore. So it'll be good to get some of that out on this podcast, Dan. But not that it's going to be a
Absolutely.
heavily academic podcast, by the way. But yeah, it's good to use some of that sport knowledge.
We'll bridge that gap between academia and red hot banter.
A gap that's been waiting to be bridged for.
Yeah, so I should prefix this for everyone who might maybe listen to the kind of previous guys of this podcast when we did a sports science podcast. Apologies. A tendency of mine is to start saying stuff before I think what the next part of a sentence is going to be. So you'll notice a lot of tedious analogies or metaphors I start talking about, but I haven't taken the time to consider what the second part of a metaphor is.
Well, the
So
actual
then I'll even
metaphor
just,
part is,
well, I'll
yeah.
even leave just the number one crime in all podcasts, which or radio-based production, which is dead air, or I'll just panic and say something completely irrelevant. So apologies in advance. It's a trait I
They're
have
some
no
of my
intention of
favorite
stopping.
bits, so
Yeah, no.
yeah. Let's do favorite no-gi submission.
Favorite no-gi submission.
Yeah.
Oh, mine's probably the same. Well, probably kind of, I say, most high percentage, making it sound like I'm slamming on submissions regularly, which I promise you I'm not. Probably a kind of classic Kimura kind of transitioning from side control to north south, getting back Kimura, releasing
Like
it. Yeah,
it, stepping over the head.
single,
Yeah.
like that. I
Oh
think
man,
there's
I like
some
it.
other nice options from there, which I've been working on. Some good transitions to other positions if they really dig that arm in, but
Yeah. And you say yours
yeah.
is the same gi and no gi, is it?
I'd say it probably is, man. Yeah, actually, no, you know what?
Go on.
No, I haven't done it in a while, but you reminded me, and I quite enjoyed the old lapel baseball bat choke from Side
Oh,
Control, if people know what I'm talking about. Yeah,
Oh,
that's an old favourite. Old
yeah, I
Faithful, I
like
used
that
to call
one.
him.
I like that
I used to
one
call
a
him. I used to
lot.
whisper in people's ear and go, "Here's Old Faithful."
Here's our
To which
faithful.
point they would just counter and then submit me. Don't ever talk to me
actually
again.
My main progression is top half guard, pass to side control, set up the lapel across the arm into the baseball bat, and then finish with the baseball
bat.
It's a very nice one.
I'd say my
favorite submission. Well, I was going to say, it obviously changes, doesn't it? You have periods where you're loving a submission, and then it used to be a triangle when I did MMA, but now, gi, it would probably be bow and arrow, I would say.
Yeah, you do bow have a good bow and arrow.
Either that or that baseball bat choke, yeah, one of those two. And then no-gi, I'm really enjoying anacondas at the moment.
Yes, mate. I'm a massive fan of an arrow. If you can stifle those takedowns,
Legs,
even double legs, and start getting in that position, it's a really nice one to work. What I've found, I'm sure people, much more advanced than me will.
No, I like, from the head tie, you can start playing with guillotines, anacondas, darces, depending on which way you're going. So you've got like nice little sequences you can kind of roll through and get. But yeah, the anaconda is definitely my strongest of the three. All right, then, Dan, onto sports then.
Okay.
Onto sports then, excluding martial arts for now. Tell us about your sporting history from little Dan, child
so
Dan.
I'm an enigma. I'm not really an enigma. I had a ridiculously short attention span. So I'm one of these people who loves sport, but unfortunately, I wouldn't say my attention span, but my interest in kind of pursuing different sports meant I never specialized in anything, which I kind of regret. When I was younger, I did the classic football route. Kind of played a lot as a younger kid, not to a particularly high level or anything, but you know, that was a good little weekend player. You know, got my name in the dizzy heights of the local paper once in a while when I bagged a few goals. The very local paper, village paper, John. Still there. Can't take that away from me.
No, it's in there.
But then it was one of those things, and a part of me kind of probably regretted stopping, actually, you know, without going too deep. I remember I've had one of these kind of reflective times. I thought, why did I stop playing? But I remember we had a really horrible coach who was like, just didn't seem to like me for some reason. And really kind of at the age I was, and considering the level we played at, really, it'd probably be kind of tantamount to kind of just what people would think was like really unacceptable behavior for a coach. Sorry, really? It sounded like something untoward happened. I just mean it just quite shouty and sweary, but so that really ruined my enjoyment. I always thought, why did I stop playing football? Because I was half decent as a younger kid, and then stopped for a while and took it up again. Now, what my sporting endeavors as a teenager, I'm just going to sound like a really pathetic excuse, John, and to be honest, it is, because it's all I got. But as someone who's probably tried on my glasses once, I've said, have a look through those, you'll know how short-sighted I am, extremely short-sighted. And I didn't really have contact lens to a teenager. Till in my late teenage years, so I played a lot of sport being extremely short-sighted, which in hindsight, I was like, I'm sure it didn't have much of an issue, but I think it did hamper me a fair bit, like playing football and stuff.
It was quite important
to be able to see like 10 yards in front of you. So for context, for anyone who might be watching on screen, or even if you're listening, so but for the kind of traditional length, you sit away from a laptop kind of arm's length. Like if I didn't have my contact lenses in, you'd be a complete blur. I wouldn't be able to read anything, any of the icons, etc. I could be talking to Oprah Winfrey, John. So that was it. But I mean, I tried everything, man. I'm talking hockey. I tried usual traditional hockey, street hockey. I tried basketball. I tried American football. I tried karate. I did Choi Kwondo, a branch, which I believe you did as well, John, at some point. I think we both did that. Did that for a couple of years, actually, on Taekwondo. Tried a bit of informal MMA training, then trained a bit more in MMA as I got older. What else? At uni, played a bit of futsal, which is essentially just a variation of football with a slightly smaller ball. And then, I think that's how we started chatting about it, didn't we, man? I think I got to an age, I was like, I'm getting to my late 20s and I'd never taken time to really specialise or focus my attention on a sport. And then you kept on talking about jiu-jitsu and MMA. And of course, as all people do when they start, it's like, oh, I've been more interested in the MMA, mate. I want to practice UFC.
I want to learn UFC,
So you kind of go and you told me to come down. But I remember we went down to Silverbacks in Canterbury. Great little gym, great people. And I just started going for the MMA classes. And then we'd always arrive early and you'd see the BJJ bit and you'd be like, you should really train this. This will really help. And I was like, I'm not really into that side of things. I don't want to kind of start getting a gi trained in martial art formally. I'll just get it through the MMA training. Then, sure enough, after a few weeks, convinced me we did it, and I started going to the BJJ class. And then, I mean, I probably had very little natural talent for either, but certainly the BJJ I was picking up quicker, and just really enjoyed it. And I was getting the added benefit; wasn't getting punched in the face. So
It's a bonus,
that,
yeah.
yeah, that pretty much
I don't
ticks
remember
us.
your resistance to come into jiu-jitsu at all, actually.
I don't think it
I
was.
thought we just started both of them simultaneously
I
and
don't think it was resistance at all, but I think I was more kind of, if I could only make one class, I'd be aiming for the MMA class rather than jiu-jitsu, where now it would obviously be there's a couple of classes on, then I'd always go for BJJ over MMA. And yeah,
Nice. I
any
like it.
chance to train now, mate? And I absolutely love it, as we all do, and I'm sure as anyone listening is, just absolutely fell in love with it. I think it's such a brilliant martial art, to the point I bought everyone who they just need to kind of mention a word with a letter B, and I go, oh, BJJ, let me tell you about it. So yeah, that's what takes me. But please, mate, tell us your sporting history.
Yeah, very similar as well, to be honest, mate. I think I loved doing sport and I loved taking part in sport at school. So I did all of the team sports. Was never good enough at football to kind of really make the first team. Was way too small for rugby, but I'd run around on the wing and every now and then someone would give me a ball and I'd run as fast as I could and then get squashed. I kind of wasn't tall enough or strong enough for the basketball team, but would still play like hockey. Yeah, did all the team sports and just like enjoyed taking part in sport. And then you kind of answered the martial arts one as well, didn't you? I'll chuck martial arts. Yeah, so when I was about 12, started doing taekwondo. And yeah, similar to what you said, because it was me and I had a friend. Have a friend, Chris, who was, we were obsessed with martial arts as children, about becoming ninjas and watching kung fu films and stuff. So we wanted to do a martial art, and at the local school there was a taekwondo club. And so we were like, cool, that's a good place to start. They wear gis, they kick, it looks deadly. We'll do that. We'll certainly become, yeah, black belt drunken masters in no time whatsoever. And basically got to stage, we're only going once a week, and it got to the stage where they were like, well, if you're not going to come more, you're not going to get graded. And we're just like really grumpy with it. The instructor was very, very grumpy with us. We were like, oh, get out of that. So then we tried Choi Kwang Do,
Taekwondo, Master Choi.
another Korean martial
Grandmaster
art.
Choi, sorry, I am.
And then we did, yeah, Grandmaster to you. Thank you very much. And then I did a bit of traditional Japanese jiu-jitsu through my kind of later teenage years. Me and Chris went and did ninjutsu for a while together. Truly going down the march of the ninja route, taijutsu as it's also known sometimes. And then kind of in my early 20s I was like getting into watching MMA, and I was like, I kind of set myself the mental challenge, I'm gonna have an MMA fight before I'm 25. So actually I moved out to Australia for 6 months and started training out there at a gym that I found online. They had a couple of world champions on there that trained there. So yeah, started training there, did 6 months in Australia training. Then when I came back to the UK, found a gym, Team Force. Google it if you're in the Hertfordshire area, Hertfordshire, Bedfordshire kind of area. Give it a look up. We're still going now. So yeah, kind of had a couple of MMA fights, had three MMA fights, was lucky enough, well, lucky enough to win them all, and then thought, I either have to go pro, which means someone's going to elbow me in the head, or I stop doing that, don't get punched anymore, and do this jiu-jitsu that I've been enjoying. Because the majority, my submission game was the strongest part of my game. I essentially just, my striking wasn't terrible, but it was enough just to get me a takedown so that I could then try and dominate on the ground. And it's like, right, I go pro and start getting punched and elbowed in the head more. It's inevitable that I'm going to lose eventually. I didn't want to do that. I was like, go out on a high, John. Retire. Retire now.
Undefeated, may I add?
Undefeated, yeah. So, and it was never going to get better than that. So it's quickly get out of there, run into the sunset. So yeah, I did that. And then, yeah, I've been doing jiu-jitsu now for about 10 years.
Ooh, lordy.
Training jiu-jitsu, yeah. So Yeah, on top of that, outside of that, I'm a whitewater kayaking coach. I do quite a lot of whitewater kayaking still. I train for the University of Hert I coach rather for the University of Hertfordshire team. Do a bit of climbing, do triathlons every now and then, dabble in all of that. So very much snowboarding. So very much still keeping that not really special. Still trying to do lots and lots of different stuff, but at the same time trying to focus quite a lot on jiu-jitsu really.
I like it.
Yeah, I
I
did
like
see
it.
some stuff, Dan, that was saying that actually as a child you should not specialize.
Oh,
You
really?
should remain broad for as long as possible. And I can't remember what age they said then you should try and taper in if you were gonna much younger than we are now, don't
Yeah.
get me wrong. But
John,
yeah, kind of during it's too
is
late,
it too late for me to be on that basketball team, John? Please tell me.
I reckon maybe if I went back now, I could get into the year nine basketball team. I'm probably the height of some of the kids that were on that team
Yeah.
at that age. So yeah. So yeah, yeah, that's kind of it really. Love sport still. Do as much sport as I possibly can. But yeah, really trying to focus on jiu-jitsu now. Dan, a little interlude, then we'll delve a bit deeper into that martial art. Favorite guard pass?
Favorite guard pass. Oh,
Now I'm making you dig deep, aren't I,
hello.
Dan?
Hello,
Now I'm
favorite
making you
guard
dig deep.
pass. So, I used to love just a double unders,
Yeah.
just kind of,
Oh,
yeah, getting
I
double
remember,
unders.
Dan.
Yeah, just that double unders I used to be a massive, massive fan of. Now I quite like, I'll tell you what I do quite like, John. I'm a big fan of a leg drag at the moment. I think just
Oh,
to
yeah.
get a solid leg drag,
Yeah.
of course, I think it opens up a lot of nice positions
You
and stuff.
pull the
So,
old leg, cross your thigh, block
yeah,
the hips
that
off,
yeah,
and
if
yeah.
as long as you obviously can commit to it enough and get it across, I quite enjoy, yeah, because I can't always get to the gym as much as I'd like, or to my academy as much as I like. Yeah, kind of find myself watching instructions more and going through, and I found a good passing system one, which is all based on leg drag stuff, and I think
Nice.
so yeah, just simple leg drag, John. I'm quite
Like
a
it,
fan.
mate. I like it. I
Yourself,
like it.
please
As
enlighten
I
me.
say, I'll normally, if they're playing open guard, I'll normally jump into top half. And then I've got two main ways I like to do it. I either like bear hug the legs, or if they're in the gi, you can do like the mermaid pass. You basically pin their legs together, sprawl your legs out, and then pass around into side. Or if I'm in that top half position, I kind of like grab the knee. Give them an opportunity to take the top underhook. This is a move that Paul McGinty taught us at Silverbacks
Oh,
actually.
yeah.
And then as they go for the underhook, they have to open their legs. So then you do like a big back step, like open the fan back step, and just like punch their leg
I've been
out
kind of,
and
yeah, I
step
think,
around
yeah,
into half guard. Yeah.
I was watching Gordon Ryan's no guard pass, no gi pass and stuff. And he's a big fan of letting them get the underhook and, like you say,
Yeah.
stepping out and over. And it's actually really effective. If you're quick enough, it's a really
Yeah, because
effective kind
they
of
think they're going to
technique.
get on top and like, oh, I'll get this
Yeah.
underhook and I'll punch up on top. But that means they have to open the legs. And then because you've got your hand on their leg, you can stop them coming up on top and get
Oh
out
yeah.
of
Oh
their
yeah.
half guard in one go. But my main one
Yeah.
is smash the legs together and then
Yeah.
like
I'm
wrestler
yeah.
them my
I'm
way
ashamed to
around.
s so, sorry, man. I'm ashamed to say I've still not learnt my lesson, and at least one roll a week I will try the forward roll pass. Stand down the legs, because 1 out of every 10 times you actually do it and end up in
And that's
mount.
awesome,
Nine out
yeah.
of ten time one out of 10 times it works every time.
Just
9 out of 10 times you look like a complete fool, and more often than not you do
flopping off
get
to
to
the
the point
side.
where you just end up in a kind of awkward headstand, and then just
Yeah.
go back to the position, and you just kind of, yeah, try and style it out or style it off as
Yeah.
if, yeah.
That's what I meant today. I was just showing you what I could
Yeah,
have done,
but
yeah.
yeah, I've learned there's a lot to do of kind of, yeah, the element of surprise, yeah, working out your distances perfectly. But as I say, very rarely it does pull off, and it feels like the coolest thing of the world where you kind of just flip forward and end up in mount from it. But I wouldn't
Yeah,
recommend it.
I like that.
Well, I
I like
would
that.
recommend it if you have
If
more
you want to look
skills than me.
flashy
So
every now and
basically,
then,
everyone try it, and
you just
you'll
got to say
probably end up
before you
better.
do it, watch this. And then the one
Yeah.
time in 10 that it works, you'll look like an
Yeah.
absolute
Just
boss. Yeah.
shout America and just, yeah,
On
hunt them.
the martial arts kind of thing side, then, Dan, you kind of said already a bit of that. You're a BJJ blue belt, one stripe. How long have you been training now?
Oh, I started in early. Christ, when was it, John? I think it was like early 2017. There's been some I'm not gonna lie, some rather big gaps in there. Kind of, I've literally worked my way across. I realized the whole of the South, starting in Canterbury, Kent, ended up in Somerset. Well, not all of the South. I've still got Devon and
Still got
Cornwall
Devon
to
and
tick
Cornwall to
off,
go, yeah.
but yeah. So I kind of then after Canterbury, it was Surrey training for a brief period. Then from Surrey, it was Reading, Reading to Oxfordshire, and now Oxfordshire to Somerset. So yeah, and like I say, some big gaps between there. Probably actually at some point it's kind of best part of, I'm ashamed to say, maybe like with the exception of one or two drop-in sessions, kind of like 6 month gaps in training, but getting that consistency back, which is good, man. Yeah, so yeah, we'll say 5 years, 5 and a half, I guess, technically in total.
Yeah, and
Jeez.
obviously COVID during that time as well did
Oh yeah,
not
this is
help
true. Yeah,
for good jiu-jitsu training either, did it?
no.
I've been similar, mate, because of a lot of the academic stuff, I remember trying to write my dissertation for my undergrad. I didn't train for like nearly 3 months, and that was like just after I got my blue belt. And then I was did blue did I get my blue belt? Can't remember. That might have been when I was doing my master's again, like big gaps while I was trying to write my master's thesis. And then the PhD and lecturing, there were times when, yeah, we both struggled to get there, wasn't there? And then moving
Yeah.
house, and I literally got my brown belt earlier in the year, and then immediately took 3 months off to go and residentially do a load of firefighter training. So sporadic, just because of our lifestyles, really, isn't it? Not because there's not a love in the game.
No, that's just it, man. Like, don't get me wrong, if it wasn't for all these kind of external circumstances, I'd be training every day. My gym offered, like, I'm a bit of an early bird, so I said if my gym offered like early morning training first thing, with the exception as long as the little man stays asleep. Again, that's my son, not a small person who lives in
You
my
don't have a
house.
small person, yeah.
Yeah, I'd gladly be there every day for sure. Yeah, but like I said, it's just finding those training opportunities and things like that.
I think that's something everyone resonates with down there, really.
For sure, man, for sure.
Aims in jiu-jitsu then, Dan, to wrap it up. What are your aims for
Aims
future of your
in
jiu-jitsu?
jiu-jitsu. I mean, it's very cliche, isn't it? But just to keep getting better. Obviously, if we're talking about kind of clear metrics, of course, I want to eventually get to that black belt level. I think, particularly, I think, probably I got to my 20s, was like, I haven't started a martial art, and you kind of don't, you have that. I say you have that, a big generalization, but I think a lot of guys in their 20s have that, innate fear. If I don't achieve this before I'm 30, what's the point? Almost like you get to that age of 30, and it's like, well, it's too late to start anything or do anything from a kind of physical perspective. But yeah, starting BJJ in my late 20s gave me that new lease of life, and I actually thought, okay, if I actually commit to this, don't get me wrong, I'm under no illusion it's going to take many, many years to go, but I enjoy it, I love it so much, intrinsically enjoyable, and really motivated too. So to eventually get that black belt, I'd love to win a national level comp, do that. But again, that means a lot of training and getting to comps regularly, something I really struggle with at the moment. Understandably so, but I'm sure in later episodes we'll talk about kind of getting around this kind of thing and making the most of our training, even when we can't always be physically at the academies or at the gyms and stuff. So that'd be it. I'd love to win a national belt. Short term, obviously, get the purple belt. I feel with more consistency. Who knows when that will happen, but something to strive towards as well. And just
Get some good
continue to
comps in
improve
at
all
Blue Belt,
facets of
and it'll
my,
come, won't it?
yeah, just continue to improve all those facets of my game and stuff. I think the next episode we're gonna deep dive a bit into how we can kind of maybe assess where we're at the moment in a bit more of an objective way. So looking at that, so I think that'll be a good opportunity for maybe, because it's been a while since I've checked in with myself, so to speak, John. So maybe we can do that ourselves as we go through the episode and see where we're
Yeah, I
at.
think that's a good
How about
plan, mate.
yourself?
You've pretty much said exactly the same, obviously. And people do say that you're not meant to be in jiu-jitsu for the belt, but I want a black belt. I
Yeah,
want to
that
keep
does sound
training,
right, yeah.
get that black belt. Yeah, we kind of both set that challenge of a national title, didn't we? A little while ago, and I would like to try and get. I was hoping to compete another 6 months or so at purple belt. But my coach had other ideas, so I'm now at brown belt. So I'm kind of starting on the bottom again of that belt level. So yeah, hopefully push up and try and get a national title.
Yeah.
And then kind of a challenge I set for myself recently is I'd quite like to have a pro jiu-jitsu match. I want to try and do that before I'm 40,
Very
essentially.
nice. Very
Yeah,
nice.
train up like as you say, get the training more consistent, get the competing consistent, and try and get onto a pro jiu-jitsu tournament. That's kind of my plan.
Yeah. So I was just, as you're saying, but man, I was just reflecting on like your. I'm not sure it's because we've been so busy the last couple of years, but that phase between your purple and brown belt felt really short to me. It felt like you were just kind of getting into
Oh no, that's
purple
just because
belt.
we were busy, mate.
Is it? Yeah. Just
Yeah,
I
it
know. I
was
was
quite
just
long.
reflecting on that now. So I swear it felt like a real just
I
quick
think
kind of.
I must have been purple belt for like 4 years.
Oh shit. Okay.
Yeah, no,
Fair
it wasn't quick. Was
enough.
it four? I'm trying to even think.
I guess
Or was
no, because
that silver
you did get your
backs?
purple belt as we were kind of going our separate ways in Canterbury, weren't you? As our kind of
Yes,
time at Canterbury was ending, that's when you'd got your purple belt. I stand corrected, said the man of the orthopedic shoes. Very good.
Oh God.
That's plenty more of that.
Well, on
On
that
that note, fellas. But yeah, I think I'm trying to think if there's anything else that people would possibly want to know about us.
I think we've hit most of the good stuff there, haven't we?
Yeah, mean people would argue that no one wanted to know anything about us in the first place, and
Possibly
just kind of
not.
just a,
People might just
and then
ignore
yeah.
this entire episode, but at
But
least
feel free to,
it's out
guys.
there.
Yeah, it's
It's
out
out
there.
there. As I say, where we did this, the previously did the sports science podcast. We did a bit of an episode saying who we were right at the beginning, didn't we? But we got a message on one of the message boards on the website, basically saying, "Who are you, and what qualifications have you got in sports science, and why should I listen to you?" And I was like, "Oh, we should get a bit of that out there." Probably people still shouldn't listen to us, but at least now you can make the
An
informed decision as to
informed decision.
whether we're worth listening
Worth
to or
investing
not.
in. Absolutely.
Well, we hope you enjoyed that anyway, guys. Just a bit of a chat about us. Let us know who you are. Send us an email, bjjscience@outlook.com. If you've got any questions you want us to answer, got any suggestions for the show, anything like that, yeah, pop us an email. You can message us on Instagram as well, bjjsciencepodcast on Instagram. And we're on Twitter as well, bjjscience. So, yeah. Hit us up, let us know what you think. Yeah, if you've got any ideas, any feedback, let us know.
As always, thank you so much for your time, guys.
Thanks so
Absolute
much.
pleasure.
We'll be back in a couple of weeks with another episode.
See you on the other side.
Excellent. See you later. Goodbye.
Very well.